We move forthrightly into our dissertation. Take your document this morning. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. I want to focus at the bottom of page 11 this morning. Ask the very simple question. Does physical secular measures, or does the matrix, abide in any semblance to reality? In other words, are the things in the matrix, are the things in life, are they in any sense the essence of reality? Of reality. And of course, what's going to bring us into true focus is how we are looking at them. How we are looking at them. Hopefully everyone has access, if not sit one by someone that has it. I want everyone this morning to have access to it. Those who are listening or watching by way of whatever means you are this morning on the internet. If you go into the audio section there's an icon, and if you click on it, this entire document will come up. Here we're into this subsection here this morning. Does physical secular measures, the matrix, abide in any semblance to reality? And we are used to saying this or that doesn't make sense. Said, that's crazy. And of course, we're assessing it basically from matrix viewing.
Yes, we are.
Matrix viewing is world viewing. It's physical. It's what your eyes are beholding and transmitting through communications, some signal to your brain as to what that is. And of course, it is no surprise, according to the Word of God, that what you're coming up with is foolishness. Amen. Just because that thing doesn't make sense to the eyes, to the seeing, to the matrix viewing, does not mean it does not make sense. It simply means it doesn't make sense to you.
That's right.
And to me, or to humans. God doesn't have anything going on in the universe that doesn't make sense. He's a sensical God.
Yes.
And he has in all of creation that which is making sense according to his purpose. Everybody said purpose. Ella Lieberman is our designated reader. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. That's not where I had planned, but that verse keeps popping up in my spirit, and I was upstairs a while ago in the office, and it popped up again. I said, that's it. That's it. Except we're going to exegete it. So that we get the actual conveyance of what it is, its utterance is, its intended thought cogitation is actually communicating. Elder started reading that well, that's 18. And then we're going to go down to verse 21. Everyone got 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Say amen.
Amen.
We're going to start at the 18th verse. You know, one thing that the pastor drilled into my head over the years is that you never run and we grab a verse of scripture out as a standalone. It's always, I can almost hear him now. Go up a few verses. Go down a few verses. Find your context. Find your context. It's like walking into the middle of a conversation and you hear one sentence and you take off on that. And those that have been privy to the entire conversation will likely turn to you and say, that's not what we're talking about. All right. Call your text and read it.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with the 18th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Now this is where it starts. This is where it starts. Our assessment of things basically start with our assessment of salvation. Read that one verse from the Greek text.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 in the Interlinear Greek. 18th verse.
And see, when you get salvation straight, then you're on the road to getting life straight.
Come on, come on.
And as long as you have salvation messed up, you're automatically going to have life messed up.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, in the Italian
mm-hmm.
Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For the word of the cross.
You see, that reads, O Logos, God, O, to Saru. That is the word that belongs to the cross. Read.
For the word of the cross to the on one hand perishing
mm-hmm.
folly is
mm-hmm.
to thee on the other being saved to us power mm-hmm. of God it is.
See, you got oh my God, you got the Greek construction here, main and say. Main is on the one hand, this is happening. Say, on the other hand. So you got two conditions here. You got those perishing according to what? Election. And you got the other being saved. And here we are both there dealing with that. And you notice the asterisk by there because the context speaks of that which is already in place. And you notice on the first he says one's perishing, and then here on the other hand says being saved to us. In other words, he allotted those who are God's elect as us.
Yes.
To us. What? The what?
The power of God.
The power. The power the power, a power of God. Here you have the Greek verb esteem. The power of God it is.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it's viewed as foolishness, as chaos, as disorder.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's viewed as the power of God.
Yes.
Notice now two views. The first view is matrix viewing. Horizontal viewing.
That's
physical viewing.
Right.
Secular viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Looking around as things as the human mind depicts it.
Right.
And the human eyes behold. On the other hand, scripture viewing. Everybody says scripture viewing.
Scripture viewing.
It's spiritual viewing. It takes us up to the vantage point of God in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to view the essence of the plan and the will and the purpose of God. And what comes out of it is power. Oh, God, help us. Help us to come into the essence of eternal viewing. To the end that we're looking down on it. Instead of around in it. When you look at around in it, there's chaos, there's confusion, there's unrest, there's dissatisfaction. God's people are basket cases because of what's going on around us, of what we perceive. Eternal viewing comes to rescue us, to give us understanding that life is not about what we're doing. Life is about what God has already done. And so our focus should never be in the essence of a macrocosm. That is our little world. And we view the world as our little world.
Yeah.
And we're looking at things and we're saying, what is this?
Right.
When the relevant question is, what? What is this for? What God is doing with it? Which is the only thing that counts.
Yeah.
All right, I better not get caught up there. I could go all just. Oh, just on that today.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've got to move on. Read. Mm-hmm. Verse 19.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise.
Now see, when that was written, the writer did not understand what he was writing. And Apostle Peter wrote on several occasions that consecrated men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit and they wrote, and they didn't know what they were writing. But what you have in the mystery is the revelation of the essence of God's eternal workings. And as we grasp those, now we'll go back and we're able to see and comprehend the thing that the men of old wrote and didn't know what they were writing about.
Hallelujah.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
We're able to comprehend things that they didn't understand. I'm talking about prophets and kings. Huh? We're able to comprehend. I better not get caught up in there either. Keep reading.
But as it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
All right, let's go to the Greek there. Now, again, we're going to take our time as we move through, especially verses of Scripture that orthodoxly has been conveyed in a certain vein, and everyone who have listened to the many messages that have come from certain passages, and we usually follow, especially the ones that we have great respect for. And some of these writers and some of these theologians, I do have great respect, you know. So you hear me talking about Spurgeon and men like that. I'm not being disrespectful. But then we're going to exegete. I cannot begin to stand here and try to explicate or explain something until we actually get the correct understanding of what was said. Now, we see this this is a political season, and you know, some politician says something, everybody jump on it and so forth. And he said, "Well, no, let me go back and bring it into context what I said." Amen. So that we'll get the true spirit of the saying, because when you don't get the true spirit of the saying, that which you get out of it may run counter to what the Spirit is saying. And this is what happens here in the Scriptures. Many of the things that we have preached and taught run counter to what the Spirit was saying. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit now. Read from the Greek text.
1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 19 from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For it has been written,
mm-hmm,
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise one,
mm-hmm,
and the understanding of the prudent
and
I will set aside.
Okay, now, basically, here is speaking pre-revelation to the day of revelation. This is the day of revelation. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the age wherein that which was hid from ages, according to Ephesians chapter 3, has now been made known to the church. And so now we set aside what they didn't see and did not understand. Now this moves into the area of looking at life from the vertical end, of which our gospel gives clarity, versus readings in the prior covenants that were geared specifically to what was known in that particular covenant. Now here's what I'm saying. Now that we receive the revelation of the mystery. Everybody said a mystery.
Mystery.
That's the volume of truth that was revealed to Paul for the church. Now we're able to go to the essence of looking back even into those areas. But we deal with what is known. The 10th and 11th century, the plague. It was caused by the fleas that the rats were carrying. Not by some unknown evil force. And it brings clarity to it, doesn't it? Because in the 21st century, we have the knowledge that they did not have in the 11th century. Same thing here. We take the revelation of the mystery and we look down upon the things in time and the things that are happening, and we see them from the vantage point of what is known in the mystery.
Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God.
Let's go to verse 20. I can stay there a while. Oh, yes. My God. In one of these days, you all let me preach about 3 hours a day. But look at us. I love it. I'm cognizant of the time. I ain't crazy. Y'all think I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?
Okay, in light of this knowledge that is exclusively conveyed to us from the Holy Spirit, from the vantage point of eternality, from the vision of the vertical sphere looking down on things, here we have an interrogative. Finish that up and let's go to the Greek. And we're not going to get where we're going this morning. I just know that already. But amen. You got to get this. You got to get what's on page 2 before you can go to page 3. Read. Finish that up in the King James and then let's go to the Greek and we're going to exegete this.
Verse 20 again. Where is the wise?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the scribe?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the disputer of this world?
Mm-hmm.
Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
All right, let's go to the Greek. Now, you don't have the Greek interlineal as most of us have, but if you don't have that, just follow along in the King James. Amen. There might be some wording differently because you see, at least here in the interlineal, there's the Greek word and the English word under it. And he doesn't have the freedom to float.
That's right.
Amen. And if he goes off the track in any manner, he has to at least put an asterisk or something there, a footnote, let you know that he's leaving you. He's leaving the script.
Amen.
Amen. Closely, listen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Where are wise men?
I'm glad you didn't do with that. Read it literally. That's exactly what he did. That reads, to Sophos. To there is what we call an interrogative. It is translated where, or it could be when. In this case, the context is where.
Mm-hmm.
Where? Where wise? Where is any of this wise? That is mankind's perception of things. What wisdom is there in things that we see and we assess a certain way? Where is the wisdom in that? Read.
Where wise man? Where?
Mm-hmm. No, actually, wise. He threw that man in there. There's no anthropos there. Where wise? I can't explicate this unless we just deal with what's that. Are we looking at the Greek there?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It's two sophos. What is sophos? Wisdom.
Do
you see anthropos there?
Nowhere.
No. The scriptures don't need our help. Where-wise. That's exactly what he said. Read.
Where scribe.
Read.
Where disputant.
Now this is where we really get to. Where disputing? How can there be a disputing? God, you know, we don't have nerve to approach God like this now, but our conscience that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
I had some time ago, I was counseling a couple who had lost their child, and that's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's pray for the family this week as I the survivors of the young lady died only. Thirty-some years, or early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the disputing in it? What is there to dispute in this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Young lady was in my office, and she said, "It's not fair." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, I did all my prenatal care. I did this. I did that. Some of these women, they don't take care of themselves and so forth and so on. And their baby lived and mine died. So I said, who are you addressing as is not fair? And of course, that she wouldn't say God. You know, I was waiting on her to say the devil. But and of course, that's usually the out we take. The devil. Now we got the devil in the role of a creator. Because within space-time, there are events and occurrences that we call incidents that were placed there. Who put it there? Huh? In the case of death, who puts the conscience into the matrix? Who takes it out? So who's not fair? And of course, I had to minister in grace and so forth and so on, because a lot of times we said things and it's in ignorance and we don't understand. You know, we're dissatisfied. We're complaining. And we don't dare. We've been taught that we complain against God. You know the Old Testament story about Miriam and Aaron complaining against Moses and what happened to them, right?
Yeah.
Huh? So that fear is there. So we kind of guardedly won't say that. But subconsciously, what's the complaint? That it happened, what's the complaint? Now, Pastor, you're crazy. On the horizontal plane of things, yeah, it seems that this is not right. We see an injustice. We see mankind, inhumanity to man. We see all kind of things. But what we don't see is what God is doing with it. Or what really God has done with it. They say, he will make it right. It's right now. But it depends upon whether you're using matrix viewing or scripture viewing. All things are done. They're complete. Read.
Where disputing of this age, not made foolish, God, the wisdom of the world.
Okay, now, here we have the Greek word emorining. Brother Deacon, that made foolish there. You got your Greek lexicon there.
Yes.
What is that? That is a what?
Aorist indicative.
Indicative? Aorist? Mm-hmm. What's the aorist tense?
Completed action.
Indicative mood.
Fact.
So you have a completed fact that God has made all of these foolish things. And he has not made them in the light of what is really the essence of what it is. And these things are confined to what? The wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world will get you in trouble. It will keep you in a dither. The wisdom of the world will ruin your day. And your week. And even your year.
Yes. Yes.
The wisdom of the world will frustrate you. The wisdom of the world that belongs to the world will captivate you to the end where you can't make sense out of anything. Oh, God, help us.
Oh, yes.
To move away from assessing things and internalizing things on the basis of what we see.
Yes, ma'am.
wisdom that we use. It's in the saying. Repeat, it's in the saying. Not the seeing. Not what we see, but God has said. Scripture viewing. We go to the Word of God. Read that verse 21, and then we'll move on into our context. Oh, look at that time. All right, God. All right, read.
Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Now you see, he makes the loop. He starts out in the 18th verse with salvation, and he comes back to the same premise. It's all about salvation. Mm-hmm. Now why do we spend so many years we're going through the doctrines of salvation, and many ministries don't preach that and teach that, and you started asking people about justification and perpetuation and imputation and all of the doctrines of that is are the vehicles and process by which God has placed us in Christ. And I mean redemption and they don't know what you're talking about. That's the starting place. This is why for years, remember, that's what our focus were. We weren't about to go anywhere in life until you get this thing straight about salvation.
All right.
First of all, to know who you are,
right.
And were,
right.
And always have been,
yes.
And always will be.
Yes.
And this last week, nothing can separate you from it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Yeah. Which is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Read that 21.
Verse 21. Verse 21 in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For since...
You see that word there? You see that? It draws a conclusion. Epithy. It is a conclusion. A conclusion. Read.
For since... In the wisdom of God.
See, that's different from what the King James got. For after. They're sequencing. They're sequencing from physically, secularly viewing something from this end. This happened and then that happened. Here the conclusion is already there. Because everything flows from eternity.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing that's being made up each day.
No.
There's nothing that's hanging out there in the wind. Mm-hmm. Everything is already done.
Already done.
Everything is already concluded.
Yes.
Already. All right. There are no contingencies in life. God has not left anything undone.
Amen.
All, and more importantly, you are complete in Him.
Amen.
We are complete in Him.
Amen.
It's done. Everybody say it's already done.
It's already done.
Preacher, you're crazy. No, let's go with the Word of God. No, that doesn't make physical and earthly sense. Because the things that we engage on a moment by moment, it looks like things are floating and things are happening. And oh my God, you remember that illustration I gave last week? Having a tape of an incident that is not incident, but like a game or something that has happened, and you're not going through all the changes because you knew what the results were. Amen.
Yeah.
and this is what the Lord is trying to give us with life. Except he has given us the end, and then he gives us the process.
Right.
In horizontal viewing, we get the process, and then maybe the end.
Mm-hmm.
In vertical viewing, we get the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Because it doesn't need the process.
Amen.
God doesn't need to take you from point A to point B. And this is why in many instances in the scriptures, there was no interim between. They were at one point and all of a sudden they were at the other.
Right.
You know, in the kingdom gospel, Philip is on the chariot with the eunuch.
Uh-huh.
And he gets through. Of course, it just makes sense that he would get down and he would do the process, go from one place to the other. It wasn't necessary. So, boom, he was immediately somewhere else. The purpose doesn't need the process. The process needs the purpose. Oh, my God. Read that.
For since in the wisdom of God knew not the world, through the wisdom God through well, God through the folly of the proclamation to save the believing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So basically what they're calling folly and foolishness and understanding is the end result of your salvation. It doesn't make sense to me that I'm saved this morning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm a vile creature. I just put that myself that way. Nobody get insulted. Use myself as an example. You know, like Paul used himself as an example, that in me that is within my flesh there dwelleth nothing that's good. And Paul was saying, I'm no good. And so as the scripture has declared concerning who we are within ourselves, we're no good.
I hear you.
And do not deserve to be saved. If we look at the folly, no way. When we're viewing things, I look at you and I say, huh? And then you look at me and you say, really? But it's not about whom or really. It is God in eternity before any of us were ever encapsulated in these bodies that said, you are mine.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's why I would never get in line to give an assessment, and don't you ever do it, as to who belongs to God and who doesn't.
I hear you. Right. Come on, Pastor. Right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Right. So what up with he did?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like the politicians on stage that said,
mm-hmm.
Castro is going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting in that line.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is being broadcast. I'm not getting in that line.
I hear you. Hallelujah.
You don't know whose God's elect are.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, look what he did. Well, look what you did. Well, man wasn't as bad as he says who? According to foolishness.
Amen. Oh, God. Amen. Yeah.
But foolishness doesn't determine fact. God, here this year, so God has separated foolishness from fact. The fact of your salvation overrules how foolish we are.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you know, we can really be foolish.
Amen.
Hmm?
Yeah.
So what we're dealing with here is now you're able to take this down into life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, glory.
And everything is about eternal viewing.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Vertical viewing.
Amen.
Looking down on things from the vantage of the enlightenment of eternality of where things dwell.
Amen.
Let's go to our document. I won't get where I was going to go today, but that's amen. But see, that was me. Okay? All right. Amen. Let's go to that second paragraph up there, page 11, where it says the actualized essence. You see that? Everybody got that amen?
Amen.
The actualized essence of eternality, exclusively, only, offers protection, shelter, and state of mind that provides comfort in perceptions of where things are conceived and nurtured. You in eternality. You out of time. You out of the foolishness sphere. You out of physicality and circularity.
Yes.
You out of the zone where seeing is installed.
All right.
In eternality, there is no physicality. In eternality are the facts of where things really are, because all things exist where? In God's decree. If that thing is real, it is in God's decree. We confuse actualization, which is what God has said, with manifestation. That's what we see. There's a huge difference. So we've juxtaposed, or we've compared this, as the scripture has compared it this morning, and we see that one is real and the other one is not. And this would help us to not be so frustrated, even with ourselves.
Come on, Pastor. Amen. Yes.
You know, I go out, I do something boneheaded, and I say, why did I do that?
Yeah.
The obvious answer is because I'm depraved. I use myself as an example, y'all. Well, why didn't I do that before? Because God blocked my depravity in that instance.
Amen. That's right.
Why did he block it in one and didn't block it in the other? For his purpose. Because my life is not about me, it's about him.
Hallelujah.
If you don't understand that, you're getting ready to go on a roller coaster ride in life. Look at this. It is genuine spirituality rather than physicality that confers actualization of existence. In other words, if that thing is real, it's spiritual. It's not material. If it's physical, yeah, what you see is what you get. Except what you see, what you get, is not what it is. What it is what God has designed it for. This scenario provides delineation in the informed assessments, follow this, of comparisons in sorrow. So there are two ways to compare sorrow, what we see and what it is. In sadness, what we see and what it is.
Right, right.
In pity,
yeah,
what we see and what it is. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
In suffering, what we what we see and what it is. As we go into the time tunnel, there is a depiction on a picture. Those of you who are viewing it, you'll be able to see it. It's called Time's Tunnel. And it's in your book there. It looks like you're going through life and everything is closing in on you. In the Old Testament, it talked about being troubled on every side.
Right.
No. It's like being in a tunnel where it's not just on either side. It's coming up from beneath and it's coming down from above. And it's clamping down on you like a vice. But the time tunnel only affords matrix viewing. and horizontal viewing, and the way that we see things. But there's a difference between the way we view it and the way it is. The way we view it is in the process. The way it is in the purpose. Suffering. And that word scares most of us. I mean, no. We're not sadistic here. If somebody's going to run the wrong or other way with this. We're not saying that we enjoy suffering. But when we understand purpose in suffering, then we can say, like Paul, I would most rather gladly endure. As Christ did. And lightly esteem in the cross. For the joy, the purpose, the joy, my God, that was set before him. Look at that, the accomplishing end.
Mm-hmm.
What was the accomplishing end?
Mm-hmm.
Those that he had before creation placed in the blood of Christ, justified on the basis of the blood, the sacrificial death of Jesus that had brought it about. Knowing that. The next one, and here is a long list. Let this here. Misery. Misery. You know, God's people live in misery. Either because of the dissatisfaction with those that are around us, or the dissatisfaction with ourselves. Sometimes we disgust ourselves. Oh, yes, we do. If you want to be sober about it. That is sensible and actually see the essence of what it is. Circumstances around. Misery. There's the view of how it looks, and there's the view of how it is. Brief. We're praying for the family that I mentioned. Oh, my prayers, Lord. Give them understanding.
Amen.
What brings about relief and grief is understanding.
That's right.
What brings about comfort and grief is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding what? Understanding what it is for. More than what it purports to be. The next one. Anticlimax letdown. I couldn't express it. I couldn't think of a better way to express that. But you expecting something. You have envisioned something.
Yes.
You have focused on something.
Yep.
To the point that you're counted on it. And the opposite happens. Now we have what we call the letdown. Again, based upon how you viewed it versus how it is. See, many times we think things are working against us and they're working for us. We can ultimately look to the end and say, these things work for us. This is for another place that Paul writes to the end that is working for you. Oh my God, not against you.
I hear you.
Everything. Yeah. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
This is why I say give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me.
Yes.
You mean what I'm going through? God, my God's not the author of confusion. No, God's not confused. I might be confused. God's not confused. The other being of that thing is already accomplished.
Sure is.
So God's not confused. The seemingly disorder was ordered.
Mm-hmm.
That thing showed up because God had a purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm let down. How many times in my life, I think back, I even got to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain incidents. I had other plans.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And something happened and just completely wiped that out. You know why? Because the purpose was not Indianapolis, Indiana. It was Detroit, Michigan. The purpose. That's in time. And I dare say, to lead me to the essence of where we stand this morning in this ministry. Hmm? So life is not about what I want.
No.
So the letdown is ready to build up. Oh my God. Let me finish this. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to run a little over this morning. Situated. Are you with me? Are you with me? Situated as their lowest points. Even all time lows. At rock bottom in the depths of despair. This is what exclusive earthly looking around viewing would do. Absence of God. No, there's nothing to be encouraged about when you take God out of it. There's nothing to be confident of if God's not in it.
I hear
you.
No.
It leads to despair.
Yeah.
You know, despair is like when you give up. And of course, we dealt with that scripture where it said Paul, he despaired of life. Actually, that was a infinitive. His despair drove him to understanding of life. Not to take it, not to, just to give up. I'll never preach that again. Because when light comes, you do what? You go with the light. And this is what this will do. This will drive us to life, not away from life. Because our life is what?
Christ.
All right. Eternal comprehension. Everybody say eternal comprehension.
Eternal comprehension.
Say it again.
Eternal
and again.
Eternal comprehension.
Point of the pertains God's purpose. Eternal viewing is about God's purpose. Eternal viewing takes the spotlight off of us and it puts it on God. And I say to the ministry, you get up here, you start off talking about Jesus, and make sure you continue talking about Jesus.
Amen.
And when you get through talking about Jesus, what? Sit down. It's a waste of my time to be up here talking about politics this morning.
Amen. I hear you.
It's a waste of your time, more importantly.
Amen.
When life is not about politics. Oh, you can fool me. Oh, my God. Who's going to win the election? Well, whoever got his purpose, it's already done. Our conscience just hasn't arrived there yet.
Amen.
And again, I'll tell you throughout this year, our statement is this.
All
right. On that day in November, go to the polls and vote.
Yeah.
Whoever God leads you to vote for.
Right.
Whether it be Republican, whether it be Democrat, even the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? It's already done.
It's done.
We don't determine anything.
No, we don't.
All of the money and all of the tricks that are done all of the lies. Lies! They call them sound bites. They speak so fast that you can't think because they don't want you to think. Lies! But it's all foolishness. Wisdom of the world. When God lifts one up and he takes him down for his purpose. It doesn't even mean he endorses him and he lifts him up. Unless you want to say God endorsed Hitler. Do you know that first election he wanted? They voted him in office. No. Our focus is on God. Eternal comprehension pointedly portends God's purpose. I'm back reading it again. Which is couched in zenith ethics, characteristics, and spiritual culture. Everybody says spiritual culture. What is spiritual culture? It's non-material, non-secular, non-physical. It's positioned in eternality. Not in time. It's in spiritual culture as opposed to the humanist philosophies. Fundamental and distinctive characterizations of grouping physically secular contents and ages of time parameters expresses the attitudes, habits, and beliefs in humanly resonated identities. Symbols, emblems, badges, and insignia. You see, all categorized and all amounts to foolishness. Foolishness because it's the opposite of what God has decreed and what is actualized. These all involve the text of language, design, events, immaterialization by which such are easily recognized. So, well, that's what it seems to be because I mean, no, but this because you're using horizontal matrix viewing.
Right.
You're going by what your eyes see.
Amen.
Instead of what God has said.
Amen.
And many ministries are bought into that.
Amen.
And I know that's not the way to fill a house, but I declare to you, more important, the description is clear. It's the truth. Someone in this ministry asked me one time, Pastor, how many other people are teaching this? And I said, that's the wrong question. Is it true? When you look into the Word of God, is this true? That's the only thing that is important. Is it true? Is what God has said true? Is what you see the truth? That's the only thing that matters. Can 50,000 Frenchmen be wrong? 100 million Frenchmen. And in the case of Germany, many, many millions were absolutely wrong in that era. I'm just using that one incident. Same thing can be said about America. Nevertheless, Mothros. Remember when we dealt with the essence of the space frame? And you have time, space. You got width, you got what? Depth, width, and height, you got depth.
Yeah.
And of course, you have to add time to that. When Paul was talking about breath, he wasn't talking about, when he said platos, he was talking about extent, a scope. Let's finish reading this. And oh man, oh man, oh man. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, vapros conveys depth and manifestation, while his deepness embellishes unseen depth. And Ishmael, the height. That is the extent of God's purpose of what such is in his eternal intent. What is God intending for this? Not what my intent was. You know, in the Old Testament, Joseph said to his brothers, what did he say? He said, you meant it. Your intent was what? What?
Evil.
For evil. But God's intent was what?
Good.
Good. So which intent is the relevant and the authentic intent? God's intent. The depth of the deep things of God. And oh, every time I read that in the 11th chapter of Romans, it stirs my soul. Oh, the depth of the riches. Yeah, I will get into that. Amen. Time's gone. The depth of the deep things of God trumps all allegoric, physical, secular perceptions. Plato's rendered breath exclusively dominates the greatness, extent of understanding. Listen, follow this. Purpose, breath. It exclusively dominates the greatness, extent. This is what dominates the greatness, extent of understanding. You need this understanding for considering how things were actually caused, as opposed to how they are manifestly sequenced. Matrix viewing gives you an array of how things are manifestly sequenced. Scripture viewing gives you the essence of how things were actually coursed. And the end is always better than the beginning. I'm going to have to quit this point. But take these truths with you. I know it's rough out there. It's going to get rougher. Oh, and I know that politician absolutely is not going to talk that way. You won't get elected in his mind. It's going to get rougher and tougher. But every day it's getting better. I love the song that the saints sing, Every Day with Jesus. It's sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I know of him more and more. Why? Because he keeps me. Can you say he keeps me? And he saved me. Can you say he saved me? And he is the one that I adore. Every. Y'all sleep. Savory.